With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports fans, welcome to the show. The time, 4:01. Hi, I'm Milt Ellis, the voice of the Odd. Let's arm wrestle.
Sports radio.
Please note the following scratches in your program.
Mike Shope.
Penalty to number 29, Mike Shope. 2 minutes for being a jerk. Shope, 2 minutes for being a jerk. The time, 4:21.
And the Bulldog.
Who let the dogs out? Woof, 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 woof.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
A little dab will do ya.
Yes, welcome back. Milt Ellis right there. I was thinking back to my first Sabres game today. At the Odd, like many of us, maybe even Joe? No. Can't be. No.
I don't think so. No. I'd be shocked.
You would have been a baby, right?
Right.
Was so 96.
I don't want to say definitely not, but probably not. And if I was, I wouldn't have remembered it.
Mine was in 1980, and I found the box score today. Hockey Reference. The reference sites are great. This one, they don't know who scored the third goal, but the rest of it is good. Danny Gare scored the 10th goal of the night for the Sabres, his second of the night. That was number 50 for him. And I liked seeing that Jim Rutherford, there was a thread, who were the starting goalies at your first game? That's why I went and looked. Mm-hmm. That was my first game. Bob Sauve played against Jim Rutherford, now the GM of the Penguins, right? And in this game, he gave up all 10 goals, but he also had 12 penalty minutes as the goalie. And played 60 minutes. Like, he did not get replaced. There was no, you know.
They must have run through the bullpen the night before or something.
Maybe. That's probably right.
What is happening there? Wow.
He gave up 10. You don't often see a guy's save percentage for a game be .688.
Yeah. Even back in those days. You don't see a guy give up 10. They usually get yanked after 6.
That's
seven
tops,
right?
And this guy got an unsportsmanlike conduct and then a misconduct at the same time.
No.
But he never had to serve it. He was the goalie.
Right.
That should change.
Yeah, right.
I still say that should change.
So the unsportsmanlike conduct was after the 6th goal, he shot the puck out of his net towards center ice, but it was too near an official or an opposing player, so they called him for 2.
Maybe.
And then after the 10th goal, he broke his Sherwood goalie stick over the crossbar, and then that was it.
I hate to go well actually on this, but I do have it. Like, it was in the first period.
Oh, okay.
And at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So he did something.
Yeah,
he argued or something.
All right. All right.
Mike Foligno scored the only goal for Detroit.
You did. I love that. I love all this. And you got me thinking. I went and looked. I don't know what my first. I have the ticket stub, so I can find out. But I need to access it. I couldn't. I thought my sense. It's a Penguins game at the Odd. It's, I thought, 73 early in the year, but there's no Penguins game at the Odd early in the year. So I'm right. So I feel like October is on that ticket stub.
So it's a different year.
So it's a different year. So I looked at 72, and that didn't fit either. And then I just sort of gave up. So I'm gonna try to remember to actually find this ticket stub. I think I'm 80% sure exactly where it is.
All right.
If I don't find it on one try, though, I don't think I'll go.
What color is it? Or what color were the seats?
They were orange.
Orange. So the oranges were built.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Right. It doesn't predate that. Right.
Is it right that, maybe not for the whole history of the Odd, but like gold and blue, where they had lower and upper, one ticket was solid at the top of that color, and the other was striped? Like, I don't know which it would be, upper or lower. One was striped and one was solid on the ticket.
I think that rings a bell. I definitely had seats that were in both sections over the years, and I don't know which, but they had to differentiate them somehow. So, I mean, had to. I mean, whatever. It's just more convenient rather than gold.
Maybe stripes were upper?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were stripes upper? 803-0550. Dave is next. Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call again.
Sure.
Just talking again about the drafting and the development. May I just have a quick question?
Wait. Dave, were you on earlier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we talk next time?
This doesn't. I'm sorry. We appreciated the call, but like we don't. Yeah. No. Thank you.
Surprising that somebody would think to call back
to do that quickly. That was like 20 minutes ago. Yeah. And that when it went okay. I mean, I don't think either of us really agreed with a lot of what he said. Although ultimately, I'm all right with the number four defense. Whatever. I don't need to rehash the guy's call. That was bold. Brazen, even, I'm going to go with.
I don't know what that was.
What's happening there?
I don't know what that was. But, yeah, that's all right, Dave. Call me at home.
I don't. All right. Let's give out those
calls.
Call me
at home.
The other two guys that Paul – two guys. How many guys did Paul have on his column today? Was it four?
It was five, and then it went to four.
Yeah, because the one guy was an RFA. The lower end two guys he's got there, I don't hate either one of those ideas. Brian Boyle or Ferland, like not big contracts. You shouldn't have to pay a lot for that. But both of those guys have scored more goals. Both of those guys last year, I think, scored more goals than like Larson, Gergensen's, and like your name here, Sobotka, combined. Each of them. So like, I think Paul had Boyle at 18 goals last year, and Ferland maybe was 15 or 17. You know what? They're different in that Ferland is, I think, maybe 6 or 7 years younger than Boyle. Boyle is pretty old.
Quick glance, Boyle looks like a possession nightmare.
Well,
which I don't think, for the most part, if not entirely, Paul cares about. So that would that wouldn't be a reason why Paul would list him. Like if
right, no,
it wouldn't be relevant to his argument.
Yeah.
Probably, I'm only assuming that. Nashville and Jersey. He went to Nashville last year.
Right?
Was he traded to Nashville by Jersey?
Yeah.
Has he had health problems, Boyle? Was there a thing?
He had, I think, lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That would count.
But he got like, you know, the perseverance. I think he won the award that Leonard won this year. Is that the Masterton? I think he won that the year before last, Boyle did, for coming back from that situation.
Okay.
I hope I have all that right. I mean, that's all pretty serious stuff, but that's what I recall he went through.
Rich is next. Hello, Rich.
Hi, guys. Just let's say I like the show.
Thank you.
I've got a suggestion that I know doesn't solve your D problem or your second center problem, but it's you have a player, a restricted free agent up here in Toronto on a team with Matthews, Tavares, and Nylander, who actually has produced more than all those guys. The Leafs offered him $80 million at 8 years, and he said, or apparently his camp said, that, well, they'd rather go 3 years, hit free agency unrestricted at 25 so he can really cash in. And then I'm hearing Paul Hamilton say the Sabres don't really want to commit to anybody longer than 3 years because they got to sign Dahlin. So that kind of fits. He's right wing, Skinner's left wing. That's a really good top line. So yeah, and what's the worst that could happen? They match and then it screws your competitor down the road, or we get a player that finished top five in scoring last year.
Is there a question here? Like, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this because it just seems too fantastic for me to ponder. But is there hang on, Rich, please. Is there a thing here where you have to have the right amount or the right draft picks? Like, you have to have your own draft picks?
If it costs the max amount of money, the Sabres have the first-round picks. In fact, when we were talking to Paul earlier, he reminded me and everyone else, like, a mid-level offer sheet, they can't do. Like
because they don't have a second
or
a third?
A third or whatever. They can't.
What a dumb rule.
They can't meet the price, so they can't do it. But the very high end, now, I don't know what a shorter sheet. I think it's all about the annual average value of the deal. So if you exceed a certain threshold for, I don't know, like Rich is suggesting 3 years or 4 years, but it's at $12 million, then that's four number one picks. So, like, you can do that. You know, you're going to be out the four picks. The reason teams want to go usually all the way with a guy like that, 7 years would be the max that the Sabres or any other team besides Toronto could offer him, is because they're paying four number one picks for the privilege. You wouldn't want him for just 4 years, I don't think, if you're going to pay that steep a price to acquire the player. So that's the reason why you might not do that.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just – the Sabres. So you have Mittelstadt, and you've got Cousins, you got all these draft picks that you have. I mean, and they might turn out to be great. I'm very hopeful. I couldn't leave Spell to seven, but Marner's Marner. And
I don't hate this idea. I might be reluctant to only do it for that shortened amount of time.
I would never do it. I would never sign Marner at that price. For the money and the draft picks, I would not want my team to do that. There might be a player in the league where I would, but it wouldn't be this player.
Okay, I think I'm a Sabres fan living in Leaf Nation, and I hate to say it, I think he's a fantastic player. He's up there with Johnny Gaudreau. He's that exciting.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I like him a lot. I think he's overpricing himself. I thought it was pretty interesting in the run-up to the draft that Dubas said that it's not, just don't assume we'll match any price. We're not going to just match any offer sheet he gets. And, I think you could take that to, what is his intention there? To me, that was warning Marner to not assume we'll match. Because I think Marner, he's from Toronto. I think, why wouldn't you love being in Toronto, but you want to be paid? So one way to get paid is to sign for 7 years for $12 million a year or 11 and whatever. Exceed Matthews' threshold. Do that, and then the Leafs go, oh, well, I guess we got to pay. And to me, Dubas was telling Marner, don't think we're just going to keep you at any price. Like, this is not some way for you to get what you want. If you want to go sign somewhere and it's that much money, like, what our line is, don't think we're just going to keep you. You might end up in where whoever you've decided to sign this 7-year thing with, and good luck.
Well, that might be true, and if it is, you probably should have told him that in person. Maybe he did that too.
Yeah, maybe.
When he's talking to the media, he's just maybe positing, or he's posturing. I meant to say. Whatever.
Well, they've strategy. Been talking about posturing like that. The Marner camp, from what I have heard and read, has been saying all along they're going to take meetings, and that starts within the next couple of days for RFAs. And they're in the Sabres division. They're a very good team, and so to say I'm paying, and it would be a fascinating thing if none of those things were true. Toronto could be worse than Buffalo, and this story would still be super interesting within the league because he is the face of the offer sheet wars. Like, if the offer sheet thing is ever going to get off the ground, I feel like he and this stance he's taken so far, that he's the guy to do it.
But it's so steep. I mean, I think I like the idea more on different levels. There are these RFAs, guys who are in their early to mid-20s, who have this, it shouldn't be hidden value, but by the behavior of most NHL teams, apparently it's hidden to them. And that's where the good stuff is. I mean, I think if you commit that kind of money to this player and those picks too, you're just in really you're in really tough shape. So we'll see if he's the one who kicks that off or other players are. What you're saying Dubas said sounds like what you would say if you were just being honest. Because the honest answer to that question would be, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know yet. Depends on what the money is, what the terms of the deal are, who the team is, maybe, what else we come up with before that. I mean, I can't tell you right now whether we would match it. And that alone, that's your point, mostly, that alone is like almost controversial for him to just say,
yeah,
I don't know if we'll sign him. Like, it's sort of interesting to hear the GM say that, but it's totally what he should always say because it's the truth. Like, I don't know yet. We'll have to see what it is, right? That's how it should be.
Yeah, I guess I thought maybe that people would take any communication that a GM, in this case Dubas, would be doing like that, would be sending messages to other teams. And I think in this case that was the player. And I guess I'd be surprised, having said all this, that he hadn't conveyed that message to their representation or him already, because they're pretty far down the road here.
Mm-hmm. I like that the Sabres' first-round pick Friday night is from the UConn. I would never have thought, because the UConn is this, to me, I've never been there or never really learned a lot about it. It seems like it's a huge area of land on the map up above British Columbia, next to Alaska. It's not a risk territory. Northwest Territories is a risk territory, not Yukon. But it just seems like it's Canada. How many people have been drafted from the Yukon? 300 might have been my guess. The answer is three.
Three, right.
Including Dylan Cousins, who is the first round pick from the Yukon. He's from Whitehorse. That's the capital. Do you know how many seats are in the House of Commons in Canada?
I do not.
Joe probably does.
No, he doesn't.
36.
338. And
close.
So, you know, you've got this
first number, right?
You've got this legislative body, the House of Commons. It's much like the House of Representatives, maybe, in how your population affects how many members you have from a given state.
So the Yukon have one.
One. Right.
Sorry,
they have one.
I rushed to
no, you
punch
got it.
Line
up. You
yeah,
got
I know,
it.
But
you're
whatever.
Back. Yeah. One out of 338 seats in the House of Commons. Yukon. They have the Senate, too, in Canada. And also one seat. 186,000 square miles. 40,000 people. 0.2 people per square mile.
How many are in the city of Buffalo again?
6,400 per square mile in Buffalo.
That's amazing.
6,450 or so people per Wikipedia per square mile in Buffalo. Yukon, 0.2 people per square mile. One person every 5 miles. Dylan Cousins. Makes me like him even more. That's interesting.
I like how he reads on paper a lot. You know, who knows? We went into the thing saying, like, I don't really have a favorite idea. There's this group of players there between 3 and 12 that everyone seems to agree are pretty interchangeable. So, you know, provided you didn't do one of two things. Do what Detroit did, which is just, I love this guy, so I'm taking him at 6, even though I should be able to get him, who knows, maybe even in the second round, God, or the goalie. And the goalie went 13th to Florida, like our guest last Wednesday suggested he would, Steve Cornianos. And I'm sure a lot of other people had him pegged there too, but good. That was all you really needed to do. Now make some trades.
We'll talk to Paul Hamilton about draft weekend and what lies ahead and what could be a really interesting week for the Sabres. We're hoping. That's next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
The way they played last night, they definitely would have come out on the top side. But, Tampa Bay was, they were eager, they were hungry, and they wanted to make sure that was Paul. They just put out the buffet.
On WGR.
Oh, go ahead, Paul, you can go get a plate.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I thought they were great.
Sports Radio 550.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, welcome back. The draft is over. Free agency is up next. And there's even, again this year, a period between the draft and free agency where teams can talk to players. Like, it doesn't just start on July 1 and then somebody signs Matthias Olin in 5 minutes
right.
In a complicated contract. And we all go, wow, that came together quickly. So it's a little bit more above board now, I guess. Joining us now on the West Hur Hotline, Paul Hamilton, just back from Vancouver, I think. Right, Paul?
Yeah, I got back yesterday.
How was the weekend?
Good, good. It was beautiful in Vancouver and just a typical draft. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary there. But, you know, sometimes you get trades, sometimes you don't. In this draft, you didn't get any in the first day, and you got quite a few of them in the second day. So they were waiting for the salary cap to come out, and it didn't come out officially to the media, but it, you know, I think the GMs by the second day knew where it was going to be and proceeded then with their trades.
Paul, did you get any information from either the Sabres, Jason Bottrell, or even the director of amateur scouting, Ryan Jankowski, was on the air this morning for the moves up? They did move up a couple different times on Saturday, obviously targeting very specific players, I would think, is why you do that. I'm just curious if they talked at all about, like, how those moves came together and why they came together.
Well, it's become very obvious to me Jason Bottrell goes into a draft looking for six players. He's had three drafts. He's had six players in each of the three drafts. He had a, you know, he had a seventh round pick which got traded. He had three sixes, two of them got traded. And yes, there were guys that they had targeted on the second day that they wanted to get. And they felt in some cases they were going to have to move up to get them. So, you know, they had the extra currency, and that's what he has it for. As he said, I think he likes to take six players, and he's, you know, good with that. As far as, you know, taking anybody from the CHL, he did that in the first round with Cousins.
Right.
He's the only player in three drafts that he's taken that. And he did say on the first day, it doesn't matter at all to him. It's been coincidence because Dahlin was his pick 1 year and Mittelstadt was his pick the other, and that's who they wanted both times. They had no problem picking a CHL player in Cousins, but he said on the second day he does have a bias because typically second day players take longer to develop, and he wants to have those 4 years to deal with them, whether it's a player from Europe or a player from college. He doesn't want to be pushed in 2 years to figure out if his seventh-round pick or his sixth-round pick is ready to play. So, you know, he said he does have a bias once you get past the first day, but the first day, you know, CHL players are in play, and they took one in Cousins.
It seems logical. What reason would he have for wanting exactly six players, though?
I think he has it in his mind when making trades. It's like, okay, you know, he's traded away two of his sixth and a seventh. So he traded away three picks, which would have given him nine. And he might be thinking in his mind, you know, do I need three picks in the sixth round when I really want to target the talent on this kid that is coming up? And I don't want to wait and see if he's going to drop to us. I want to get up there and get it. And as long as I get six picks, you know, that's what we're looking at. That's how you kind of recharge your team type of thing. So I think, you know, I may be fishing here. Maybe it's just coincidence. But, you know, after 3 years, I'm starting to wonder if it's more than just coincidence. Because he's done that before. He's traded a mm-hmm. pick or two to move up to get a certain guy that he wants. And so I think, you know, that's what he's looking to get, and if he has to use some of the other picks as currency to get players that he targeted, he doesn't mind doing that.
What were your impressions of Cousins, Paul? You would have had a chance to talk to him, and I imagine some other guys too. But like, he's the first round pick. He's seventh overall. What did you think of the kid?
Yeah, very genuine kid. I mean, I remember when he was here for the combine, he was the guy that said, "Oh, I can play in the league this year."
Okay.
He right. kind of rode that back a little bit after he was drafted. You know.
Good.
You know, he thinks he can, but, you know, he said, you know, we'll see. And Bottrell, he didn't say no, but he basically made it sound like he's going back to junior. Now, that doesn't mean he might not, if he has a really good training camp, because he said he's going to get every opportunity in training camp
mm-hmm.
to show them what he can do. And that doesn't mean he might play some of those nine games that he can play before he has to get sent back. So he might get a little cup if he has a really good training camp and a really good summer. He might get a cup of coffee in Buffalo just to see what the NHL is like before going back, you know, just like Sam Reinhart did. But he's a big kid, but he isn't as strong as he could be. Bottrell mentioned that, you know, to be an NHL player, he's going to have to get a little bit stronger, and he will. I mean, he's an 18-year-old. He still has growing to do. And Bulldog, I mean, you know, I mean, how, mm-hmm. look how tall your son is, and he's probably going to get taller, you know, at his age before it's all said and done. I remember Tyler Myers was drafted, and we saw him at the draft and talked to him, and then he showed up for training camp. I think he grew an inch and a half or 2 inches between, between, you know, the time he was drafted and training camp. It was crazy. So, you know, I think he still thinks Cousins needs a little bit more work before he has the NHL body.
How do you think the first seven picks went for the Sabres? Or what do you know about that? Like, was Cousins somebody they didn't expect to have a shot at? Go ahead.
That's the impression I got, Mike. Bottrell said he wasn't surprised, but, you know, when I talked to Ralph Krueger, you know, he said it was a bit of a surprise at the table that he was there. And it worked just like the Bills draft did.
Yeah.
You know, where Oakland Raiders went goofy on the draft, and it allowed the Bills to get who they wanted. Well, the same thing happened the pick before with Detroit. Seider goes, the defenseman, Well, if you look at the top 100 prospects in the Hockey News, he's ranked 22nd. He went 6th overall, and I could hear the kind of groan in the crowd when he was taken, and I'm sure the Sabres like, are you kidding me?
Did you see the kid's face?
Yeah, I did.
The kid could not believe he was picked there. Right. I mean, yeah, he was just shocked.
Exactly. And so were a lot of other people. So now the Sabres are sitting there going, well, there's two centers here, and Cousins and Seagrass. And, of course, the kid that everybody wanted them to take, Cole Caulfield, is still sitting there. But how can you pass up on Cousins? I mean, he was ranked 3 and 4 on some people's lists. And I just don't think you could pass up on the kid, even if you got a 72-goal-scoring winger. I mean, it's not like Buffalo doesn't need centers who have a little size to them and can play in both ends of the rink. It's not like they've got a corner that market cornered. So it really gave them an opportunity where, you know, they really couldn't have gone wrong with their pick there unless they went off the board like Detroit did.
We're talking with Paul Hamilton. He's back in town. He's been on the road since last week. He was in Vegas for the NHL Awards and, of course, in Vancouver on Friday and Saturday for the NHL Draft. His appearance on the Western Hotline is brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. So is there anything else on the draft that you want to mention here, any of the other picks? The big Swedish goalie certainly caught the attention of the Parker House when that happened. And he's going to play in the USHL this year and then go to Michigan, I guess. That's the plan for him. The defenseman at the end of the first round. Anything to sort of color in between the lines here, Paul?
Yeah, I kind of thought they might go for a goaltender at some point in the draft. I don't think I was thinking their first pick of the second day, which was the third round. Eric Portillo was his name, and he's from Frölunda. So Rasmus Dahlin would know. He played for the Frölunda Sweden junior team, so he would know him. Because Botrel said kind of tongue-in-cheek, we used our expertise from the Frölunda club to talk,
yeah,
you know, with that. But
that actually might be a factor, though.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they could have talked to Olofsson. They could have talked to Portillo just to get their impressions.
Or he made an impression on them when they were watching him in the past, right, with Dahlin or whoever else. That's all. That's just normal, though.
Sure, sure. I mean, and they did like him a lot, and I don't think they thought they were going to get him in the fourth round if they waited. So, you know, that they pulled the trigger on the third round. And, you know, is it a wake-up call for Linus Ullmark, too? I don't know. I mean, Linus Ullmark had a good half season and a very poor half season here with the Sabres. And then you've got, of course, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who was taken in the 2017 draft in the second round. And after the season that he had in the OHL, he might be the odds-on favorite to be the guy for the Sabres. Not this year, but, you know, eventually. I remember I always used to say when Miller, Noronen, and Marty Baron were around, I always thought, I think Miller, in the end, when the dust settles, will be the guy. And right now, when the dust settles, I think Luukkonen probably will be the guy. But, you know, he's got to get a year. He's got to get up over the hip surgeries that he had and then get himself in Rochester. And he's not going to have the training that he wanted in the summertime, so he'll be a little bit behind schedule. But I would hope he'd be able to get in the net for Rochester and get a decent amount of games in his first season. But to get another goaltender into the organization and spend a third round pick on him, you know, he's not going to be ready for a while. But still, that might just say to Linus Ullmark, we're not satisfied right now.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Those are not, they're not your highest assets. It's not Spencer Knight at 13 to Florida, but yeah, those are significant assets to devote to that position. And yeah, I happen to agree. I think Luukkonen is the guy. I think the timing of Hutton's signing and his contract matches up well enough there that when and if Luukkonen is ready, if it happens while Hutton's still got a year left, great. If it has to wait another year, that's probably okay, too. But, yeah. And for fans who don't remember, Ullmark had similar surgery the offseason before he ultimately went to Rochester. And I remember thinking the timeline was going to be a lot longer than it was. And then suddenly Tim Murray showed up at the end of the season and said, like, oh, he's healthy and he's ready to start working down there. So that was encouraging. Not to say that Luukkonen will have the same good fortune after his hip surgery. But
and they still have Jonas Johansson, who was a third-round pick in 2014. I'm thinking he might be a Rochester backup at best. I don't think he's really in the mix as far as ever being a Sabre goaltender, although – The St. Louis Blues probably would have said the same thing about their goaltender.
You never know, right?
They sent to Providence last year.
They were a year removed from, farming him out, loaning him out like Matt Molson. We don't have a spot for you. Go play somewhere else.
So let me say never, but as we're talking
That's goalies, right.
Yeah, as we're talking today, I don't think he's a guy they're looking at seriously as an NHL player.
Let's take a time out here, get you more with our Paul Hamilton right after this on WGR. Now more reviewing of the draft and looking forward to free agency with our Paul Hamilton here on WGR.
So on to free agency, and you have a column up today with some ideas. I'm not picking on you by asking this. I was already talking to Joe about it. How many times around is this with Justin Williams as an idea, even a good idea for the Sabres? Like maybe four times around? I mean,
I'd love it. Now, I just think he wants to play in Carolina. He likes it there, and they like having him. So I imagine he will come to terms with Carolina. But, I mean, he's 37 years old, still had 23 goals and 53 points. He's won multiple Stanley Cups. He's well-respected. There's just so many things I would, for a 1 or 2 year deal, I probably wouldn't go any further than that. I would love to have him around. I don't think he would break the bank. He made $4.5 million last year. If you gave him $5 million, that's fine. I would just love to have him around for the team. Now, I would probably rather have Joe Pavelski because he's a center, and he's 34 and had 38 goals last year on a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But he could provide that same type of leadership, although he's going to cost you a lot more, I think. But, he was the second idea I had that, being a centerman, I think he really could help and probably could help Mittelstadt. I'd sit him right next to him in the locker room.
Yeah.
And if you could pull that one off, I think I would be a fan of that too. But again, 3 year deal or something. I'm not giving him $7 million or anything like that at the age of 34 years old.
And you're probably we'll see what San Jose's got. Got their own issues to deal with. And so it caught a lot of people, I think, by surprise that Pavelski was even rumored to be or reported to be taking meetings with other teams. I don't think Pierre LeBrun said the Sabres have done that yet, but that they are interested. So that's encouraging, but only so much. I mean, I just have a very hard time seeing Joe Pavelski ending up in Buffalo at this stage of his career.
What's left for him? Winning.
Right. So, can you convince me I'm going to a team that has a legitimate chance to win the Cup right now? Like, the window's not open that wide. Like, he strikes me as a guy that would take less to stay where he has a chance to win. But that's just me. I'm not him. I don't know.
No, I agree. And when I wrote this, it wasn't written from an angle of guys that I think are going to come here. It's guys that I would at least try to go after in that order. The last two guys I wrote about, Brian Boyle and Michael Ferland, would be more of options that would have a chance. Brian Boyle, I think it'd be perfect to be on one of the lower lines, an 18-goal guy. He only was paid $2.55 million last year. He's 34. He brings you size. He brings you leadership and can contribute in a bottom six type of a situation. And Ferland, I've always liked that kid's game, and he just seems to get better and better. He's 27 years old. He only made $1.75 million last year, 17 goals, 40 points in 71 games. He brings a lot of different things that I think the Sabres could use, but again, he's a winger and not a center.
Yep.
Did you mention Andrew Kopp to Winnipeg?
I did, and then I realized that for the list I was looking at, there was a mistake on it. He is restricted, so he is no longer on my list or article.
Too bad.
Cap Friendly had a list out. He was on the unrestricted list, and I didn't check it, and somebody checked it for me.
Here's an idea. Let's still do it.
Go get him anyway.
Go get him anyways. Good. I like it a lot. Keep that rough draft or whatever handy, Paul, because you might want to whip that back out, see if you can slip
there's
that
offer sheets. There's offer sheets you can do. The problem with offer sheets for the Sabres, they right now, they pretty much can only go big because they don't have a third-round pick next year. Once you get past the four first-rounders, you're going to need a third-round pick in a lot of cases, and they don't have their third-round pick. So
trade, though.
It's if you're going, yeah. If
you could trade
go
for the
trade, and if you're going for offer sheets, it's bigger go home.
Right
now, just a couple of minutes left here, Paul. For free agency, what kind of work do the Sabres need to do to clear up space? Do you think? Like, what drives the other? If the Sabres like a player in free agency, and with this lead time, maybe they can really know whether they're going to be able to land that player. Does that drive what they do in terms of getting something out? Maybe I would say if there is a buyout, given what you told us the GM said last week about buyouts, I would think, well, that could be an indication that they have somebody lined up.
Yeah, he just, you know, he keeps right out and said he's not buying out Sobotka. You know, we ask if he planned on buying anybody out. He said no, and then the question was asked, so you're not going to buy out Sobotka? He said no.
Right, I know, but I'm thinking, like, what if, is it possible, is this the right way of looking at it, if there's a free agent that they would not have expected to have a chance at, but now they, for whatever reason, do? Ronnie Cycli walks into Jim Boeheim's office and says, I want to play for Syracuse. Like, if something like...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If that happens, then what I'm saying is, if there were, maybe there won't be, probably there won't be, but if there were, I might think that that's a good sign.
Yeah, and I've got them, and that's with the Rosalainen on their salary cap right now. I have him in my cap. I got them about 16.8 salary cap room. So they could fit in a free agent right now if they wanted to, especially if they decided to trade Ristolainen or trade somebody else and to make a little bit more room for themselves. But the free agent would have to be a 2 or 3 year signing, because I got to believe Dahlin's going to make more than Eichel. He's going to keep trending up. And when his contract's up, I got to believe it's going to be more than Eichel's contract. Sam Reinhart isn't going to be sitting at a 3.75 salary cap hit,
mm-hmm.
you know, when his deal, when he's up for his deal. So, you know, there's that's going to go up too. So they have to take those things into account, knowing that you're getting Bogosian's money back in a year. You're getting Scandella's money back in a year. You're getting Sobotka's money back in a year. So there are some contracts you're going to get back in a year that you can use that money to. But it just, you know, that's why I don't think any of the big fish are realistic. I think if they do go, let's say they went and got a Pavelski, it would have to be like a 3-year deal or something like that, where, you know, knowing where their salary cap's going to go in the future.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
There you go, Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Coverage of NHL free agency here on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel and Carr, your border attorneys, by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. That's the end of the line for us. We'll be back tomorrow at 3. Stay tuned. Sneaky Joe coming your way with 2 hours of the Nightcap right here on WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Gentlemen, be free.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.